Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome everybody. We're here live tonight. Good to be with you. Another live prophetic talk show. Yeah, what we're doing, whether we talk about it. Welcome everybody. Good to be here tonight, and hopefully you're all doing good. We're going to be praying for everybody. Tonight's Wednesday night, and tonight we pray for everybody. So we want to be taking callers to talk, only to prophesy. That's it. That's what we do. All right, so we wanted to let you know about that to make sure you understood, and good to be with you tonight. Glad that we can do this with you and for you in your behalf to help raise up the army of God to understand that the gifts of the Spirit and the Lord Jesus speaking through his servants can do it any way God chooses, all right? So really, really interesting and cool how that works. So let's get ready for that, and all right, hang on just a second. I'll be right there. And we're going to go for it. All right, welcome everybody. Wow, what a great night to be alive and seeking the Lord and finding out what's going on around the globe or around our next door neighbors or whatever. We're finding out what's going on, wherever it's going on. We want to be there to, you know, be a part of it and find out what God's doing and what he's not doing. Sometimes you need to find out what God's not doing, right? I don't know if you know about that part, but really, really important to find out what is not going on, because if you're interested in what God is saying, what God's doing, you want to find out what he's doing and what he's not doing. Right? Yeah, you really do. So, really cool. All right. So let's go here and do this thing. Oh, I'm going to be there. I'm going to get there in just a second. Give me just a moment to kind of get going here. Here we are. There we go. Okay. Got it. All right. Let's look at some things here and see what we're getting tonight. I'd say we want to make sure that we're know not only what God is doing, but what God isn't doing. And if God isn't doing something, don't you know we ought not be doing it, right? We ought not be doing it. And that's something that some people are going to learn a lesson on that. I think we've all learned a lesson about that a little bit. Maybe we didn't know what was going on, but that we don't deal with things anytime we get ready to deal with it, anytime we want to deal with it. We just decide we're going to deal with it some kind of spiritual entity or spiritual thing that's going on in the heavens or even in the earth. God, how many know the kingdom of God is coming in the earth, and there must be order in the earth. And so that kingdom come, thy will be done in the earth. I'm going to talk about that a little bit tonight, because we've been talking about authority and how to know when God has told you to do something, when he's told you not to do something. Right, and how subject we must be to the Lord Jesus here on the earth, even just dealing with things, demonic powers and strongholds in the earthly realm, how that we need to make sure that we're doing the will of God, especially if you're trying to deal with heavy-duty things and that are connected to principalities and powers. Because you have earthly things, right? How many of you know this? We have earthly powers that are here in the earth, demonic, that are their father is the devil himself or the principalities and powers in heavenly places. And so we got to be careful, you know, that we're not just doing what we think is right, because, you know, bless God, we decide we can, we think we can, and wait on and be like Jesus, if you know what I mean. So we talked about this last night just a little bit. And I want to really get into this because I feel like we're going to really deal with this, especially in the latter days, any time, but especially in the latter days. And so we want to deal with this by the Spirit of the Lord, do the best we can to share things so you won't get yourself in trouble. You won't find yourself kicking against things that God doesn't want you to kick against. If you're going to kick against things, kick against the things that God's leading you to do, because if you try to do things without his authority, even here on the earth, because a lot of these things on the earth are connected to the devil, right? And, you know, in the second heavens, and the first heaven, the first earth, where we are, right, here on the earth, and whatever you want to call this area, this region, this place in the earth, the Bible says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. So when we're doing things from God, and we're literally doing things what God is telling us to do, doing the things God's called us to do, then what we're doing on the earth is connected to heaven. In other words, connected to God. We have God's authority, God's delegated authority, God's power to deal with it and do it. And if people try to mess with that one way or the other, you know, they get themselves in trouble. They start having issues and problems. We hear about this stuff all the time where, you know, it's been a big thing in the body of Christ. You mess with me, God's going to mess with you, right? Well, in a sense, that's true. But the thing is, if you try to stop what God's doing, I mean, in the earth, you know, we know in the two witnesses, we talked about this quite a bit, actually, how that anybody tries to interfere with what they're doing, what comes out of the mouth? Fire. And they are devoured because God had a purpose for 3.5 years. And that 3.5 years period, they cannot be stopped. So if you try to stop them because they're connected to God, right, they're doing the desires of God, then fire comes out of their mouth and destroys you. I can't wait to – I don't know that I really want to see that, but, you know, Psalms 91 says we're going to see it with our own eyes and behold it with our own eyes. So get ready for that. We are going to see things happen that are going to be somewhat, you know, scary but awesome. And just make sure you're submitted to the Lord. We do all this teaching on how to do his will, not my will, but thy will be done, right? And then we get out here and this, thinking we can handle some kind of something, spiritual thing, some large company, some major corporations that are here and that have been taken over by the devil and by the principalities. They've been taken over by the principalities of power. So when you mess with them, you're messing with principalities and powers. When you mess with God's servants, like we just talked about the two witnesses, it's just one example, then, you know, what happened? God gave authority for the two witnesses for fire to come out of their mouth to destroy anybody who tries to stop the will of God. Not just stop them from being, you know, having great revival. It's because they have authority from God. So anytime a company or a big corporation or something in the earth, anytime they are birthed or are taken over by, you know, principalities and powers, and you know, and even though they're in the earth and they are owned or, if you will, are controlled by those principalities and powers, and you start messing with them, well, then if you're not messing with them with God's power, you will be messed with. They will mess with you. You better have God's protection. You better be doing something because God's telling you to. So it's something I think we don't really understand much, but I think we're going to try to learn about it and discuss that and ask the Lord to show us, you know, how do we deal with that? How do we deal with that? So we're going to talk about a little bit tonight. Some scriptures we've talked about before. We're going to go to 1 Kings chapter 22. 1 Kings chapter 22, and I'm going to kind of just read overall here. This is about Micaiah. Remember, Micaiah warned Ahab. Remember, we have compared Daystar Network, just kind of an example because we've been connected to it, Daystar Network to Marcus and Joni Lamb. And the reason we're using them as an example is not because they're bad people, but because they're merchandisers. And God's dealing with that at this point. So we're already seeing how he's dealing with that. and not me, not anybody else, but only God can do that. And so we compared them to Jezebel and Ahab. Well, this is a situation here about how God deals with Ahab's situation and how he dealt with Marcus. And so, you know, it's all about authority. It's about authority. What do you have authority to do? Well, if you're merchandising and you're, you know, doing it especially in a major corporate way, and God's saying, stop doing that, and you keep doing it, then you lose your protection. Remember we talked about it last night, how that when they went into the land, they were getting ready to go into the land, and Joshua and Caleb came back and reported how great the fruit was, the grapes and the pomegranates and the figs, and they said they're huge, and the giants are huge, but you know what? God, this is what Joshua and Caleb said. We read it last night. They said that, but God has removed their protection. Remember that? And so we're going to kind of go with some of that and put all that together by the grace of God. There, he says in Numbers 14, verse 9, only do not rebel against the Lord. Neither, that's a big one right there, especially in this day and hour. Always, but especially in this day and hour. Only don't rebel against the Lord, anybody. He's talking to God's people right here, God's people. He's talking to God's Israel. Don't rebel against the Lord. You know, neither fear the people of the land of Canaan, from Joshua and Caleb, and the other spies, for they are bread for us. Their defense is removed from over them, and the Lord is with us. Right? That's very important. Not the Lord is, you know, tired of them. He said, no, the Lord is with us. Do not fear. We can go take them, basically what he's saying. Right? And so we got to understand, you know, what's going on with that. And know that these are things that are being dealt with in the earth, right, as far as what we can see. Now, were there demonic powers in the earth at that time? Yes. Were they connected to the second realm, to the principalities and powers? Yes, of course they are. It's like we're connected to God, and God's, you know, his power's greater than any power, right? And if we're truly doing what God says, he's going to protect you. He's going to fight for you, right? And if you rebel against the Lord, me or you, whoever we are, then we're going to find we're not going to be, our defense, our protection will be removed. Now, we'll go to heaven. If you're a Christian, you're going to go to heaven, right? You can have issues and get out of order and have problems and rebel against the Lord, don't even know it. If you're truly born again, you can do that. The Holy Spirit's going to be convicting you, of course, drawing you near to him, but you can do that for a season and get yourself in big trouble fast, and it's going to be devastating, actually, for what's going to go on and what does go on. So we're talking here. We don't want to get real. We're going to kind of talk at this level tonight, how that things in the earth are connected to things in the heavens. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth, right? Things in the earth that we do. God's calling us to do things in the earth. Are we protected or are we not? Well, are you doing what God's will is, or are you staying in God's will? Are you rebelling? Are you finding yourself rebelling against the Lord? Now, I believe the merchandising realm is rebelling against the Lord. I believe that. And they know the truth. They know exactly everything. Like we're talking about principalities and powers lately, about using Daystar as an example. Oh, they know all about it. Believe me, they know. I know. And I don't just know it in the spiritual realm. I know it in other ways. So they're being told everything we're talking about, of course. And, you know, they're going to try to work it a little bit. Who can blame them? But we're going to use it as an example, and that's why we're talking about Micah in 1 Kings chapter 22. I really wish you could open up your Bibles, open up your computer, and get on Bible Hub, which I think is one of the best things you can get onto. The way it's built is awesome. 33 different versions. And they're really cool. All right, so... Syria and Israel, God's people, Syria, the enemy, Syria was connected to, and their business they were doing was connected to principalities and powers, right? Yeah. And Israel was connected to God. If they were doing what God said, and if they weren't rebelling against God, they were protected by God. Remember that? All that's all real simple thing. We'll need a lot of scripture on that. You ought to know that. Then it came to pass in the third year that Jehoshaphat, who's a great guy, king of Judah, went down to visit the king of Israel. And the king of Israel said to his servants, do you know that Ramoth in Gilead is ours, but we hesitate to take it out of the hand of the king of Syria? So he said to Jehoshaphat, will you go with me to fight at Ramoth Gilead? Okay, now watch what it says right here. Look at verse 1. The king of Israel, Ahab, said to his servants, do you know that Ramoth in Gilead is ours, belongs to us? And we're something that, you know, they've been given. But we hesitate to take it out or to deal with it or to fight it, right? Because, let's see. Now, we hesitate. There it is. What is it? There's it. Hesitate to take it out of the hand of the king of Syria, principality and power in the earth, connected to a principality and powers in the whatever heaven you want to call it. So he said, the demonic realm. So he said to Jehoshaphat, will you go with me to fight at Ramoth Gilead? In other words, he's saying, he's trying to get Jehoshaphat, who's a really God-fearing man, Ahab, who's not so God-fearing, but king of Israel, is asking Jehoshaphat, a God-fearing man, will you go with me and fight? In other words, will you join me in fighting this huge organization, this huge kingdom? And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, I am as you are. My people are your people. My horses are your horses. Also, Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, please inquire of the word of the Lord today. So Jehoshaphat is smart. He goes, we better inquire of the Lord today. Even though it's yours, they're big, they're powerful, they're connected to the demonic realm because they worship idols and all that. So we better make sure that God is with us or else. We're talking about how Daystar and Marcus Lamb, Joni Lamb, how we prophesied this a long time ago. Before he died, we talked about it before that, about how that God said, you know, it's not about the vaccine and all that. I tell people I'd never get vaccines, never anymore. It's many years ago. So we were talking about that. I said, it's not about the vaccine. It's about that they're fighting a big company that's connected to principalities and powers. Like, do you fight them? It's ours. It belongs to us in Christ, but do we go fight it now? Is it time to go fight it now, just like we're talking about right here? And the king of Israel gathered the prophets together. He gathered his prophets together. Here's a prophet thing going on, as we all can identify with this, for 400 men, about 400 men. And he said to them, go. He said, shall I go against Ramoth Gilead? The king asked the prophets, do we go fight or do I refrain? And they said, go up. The Lord will deliver it into your hand, O king. These false prophets, kind of like, you know. Anyway, and Jehoshaphat said, is there not still a prophet of the Lord here that we may inquire of him? So the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, yeah, there's one of them over there. There's one guy over there. His name's Micah, the son of Emiah, Emiah, whatever it is, by whom we may inquire of the Lord. But I hate him. I hate him. I love that, because he does not prophesy good concerning me, and I wonder why, because he was in rebellion against the Lord, that's why. And Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say such things. And Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say such things. Like, he just said, I hate him. And Jehoshaphat, who's a reverential, fearing man of God, said, whoa, don't be talking like that, son, O king. Then the king of Israel called an officer and said, bring me Micaiah, the son of, quickly. And I know we got to hurry up and get there. I know what we're going to do. I just need somebody to confirm it for me. And all my prophets, my 400 prophets, just prophesied to me, go for it. But has God really said? Jehoshaphat kind of like, well, I'm feeling something a little fishy going on here. Something ain't right about this. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, put on their robes, and they sat on the throne, did all this thing. They were getting into the throne room, right, at a threshing floor of Samaria, and the prophets prophesied before him, you know, go for it, it's all yours. And so they said, thus saith the Lord, with these you shall gore the Syrians until they are destroyed. Tell them, given all these details. Oh, God has spoken to me. You shall gore these Syrians with iron horns, and you shall, you know, in verse 12, and all the prophets prophesied so, saying, go up, king, and you will prosper, for the Lord delivered into the king's hand. And Ramoth even belonged to them, you know, prophetically or, you know, spiritually speaking. They just didn't have it in their hands, and they were going to go after it, right? Then the messenger who had gone to call Micaiah spoke to Micaiah and said, now, O prophet, with one accord, encourage the king. He needs encouragement. He needs to make sure you tell him what everybody else is telling him, because he needs courage. Please let your words be like the word of one of them, and speak encouragement. Right? And Micaiah said, as the Lord lives, I'll speak what I get. And he came to the king, and the king said to him, Micaiah, who's the prophet he didn't like, who he hated, who Jehoshaphat said, whoa, be careful how you talk about him. Shall we go to war against Ramoth Gilead, or shall we refrain? And he answered him, go and prosper. He's mocking him. Go and prosper. Micah says, go and prosper, so the Lord will deliver it into your hand, O king. And the king said to him, how many times I got to make you swear, that you tell me nothing but the truth in the name of the Lord. Yeah, I'm such a man of God. I want the truth. You tell me the truth, or else I know you're mocking me. And then he said, verse 17, I saw all, the prophet told the truth. I saw all Israel scattered on the mountains as sheep. They have no shepherd. And they have no shepherd, right? Because Micaiah is in rebellion against the Lord, and they have no shepherd. And when you don't have a shepherd, in other words, when you're rebelling against the Lord, the shepherd hand of God is not with you in battle, in fighting big corporations or that are connected to principalities and powers, right? I saw all Israel scattered on the mountains, sheep that have no shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let each return to his house in peace. And the king, so he says, don't go. He's telling him, you don't have authority from God to do this. It may be yours, maybe another time, maybe it's time next month, next year, but be patient, refrain. And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, didn't I tell you he would prophesy that concerning me? Just a bunch of evil? And then Micaiah said, therefore, hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the host of heaven standing by on his right hand and on his left. He's talking about the realms of heaven where God is there. And the Lord said, who will persuade Ahab to go up? In other words, God was going after him because Ahab was a merchandiser, if you will, or rebelling against the Lord. Who will persuade Ahab to go up? This is going on. It's a scene going on in heaven. It's a vision he saw. At the right hand of God, God was saying, who will persuade Ahab to go to Ramoth Gilead? And he spoke in this manner, and the Spirit came forward and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. And the Lord said, in what way? He said, I will go be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And the Lord said, you shall persuade him and also prevail. Go. Now, see what God's doing. God is giving the spirit to lie to the 400 prophets. You see that God's doing it. God says, okay, you can do it. I'm giving you authority. Go and lie. Why? Because God was getting ready to take down the merchandisers or Ahab, who was rebelling against the Lord. Go and do this. Therefore, look, the Lord has put a lying spirit in the mouth of all the prophets of yours, and the Lord has declared disaster against you. In other words, Micaiah says, this is what the Lord spoke to me, and I'm telling you, you're going to go down. If you go do this, if you fight a fight, yeah, it may belong to you, it may be yours, and, oh, we're fighting the fight in the earth, so we got to end. But you don't realize those things are connected to principality and power. And if you don't, even without all that, you have to have authority from God to go after those kind of situations and those kind of things. And if you don't, you're going to have, like Micaiah said, he said, the Lord has put a lion. He came right out and told him. He's sitting there telling Ahab, the Lord has put
a lying spirit in the mouth of all your prophets. He came out and told him. He didn't hide it. And the Lord has declared disaster against you. Now, Zedekiah, the son of whatever he is, were near and struck Micaiah on the cheek and said, which way did the Spirit of the Lord go from you? Speak. He's saying he's mocking him. And Micaiah said, instead, you shall see on that day when you go into an inner chamber to hide. You know, and Micaiah's telling him that. You shall go into the inner chamber and hide. And so the king of Israel said, take Micaiah and return him and take him to this place, the king's son, and say, thus says the king, put this fellow in prison and feed him with bread and affliction and water of affliction until I come in peace. But Micaiah said, if you ever return in peace, the Lord has not spoken by me. And he said, take heed, all you people. But what happens? Ahab goes in there, disguised himself, tried to, you know, really, you know, so the king of Israel disguised himself and went into battle. Let's get over here, what it says here. And therefore, they turned aside to fight against him. Jehoshaphat cried out, and it happened when the captains of that chariot saw that it was not the king of Israel, that they turned back pursuing him. Now, a certain man, here, verse 34, now a certain man, here's what happened, drew a bow and random, you talk about random, remember how we played one night about my name being random, like you never know what's going to come out? A bow at, thank you, Jeff, for that. A certain man drew a bow at random and struck the king of Israel between the joints of his armor. So he said to the driver of the chariot, turn around and take me out of battle, for I am wounded. And, of course, he died. He died. Now, what's going on here? They, you know, Ramoth Gilead belonged to them, right? And Ahab knew that. But he was kind of getting greedy. He was kind of like, oh, you know, we got to look good. We got to fight. So we got to make sure, you know, hey, we're going to do some things here. And so Ahab goes to battle. And without the authority of God, even though he was just dealing with earthly things, but he didn't realize, sometimes they forget, that those earthly kingdoms or businesses, or they're connected to principalities, powers, and heavenly places. So when you fight them, you're fighting those principalities and powers, right? When they fight us, when the kingdom of evil tries to fight us, if we're in obedience to God, they're fighting God, right? That's what it says. They fight God when they fight us, if we are. If we're not, God help us. And that's just the truth, y'all. We need to speak the truth and let people know what's really going on and get this thing happening so we can understand that it's not just about principalities and powers and way up there and whatever heaven you want to call it, way up there. And as long as you're not dealing with that, well, when you deal with those things that are being structured and built by them in the earth, to take over the earth, or what their plan is, and you're dealing with these people, these demonic, these big companies and large companies, large, you know, nations and whatever they are, and you're fighting on your own, I don't care how many people you got agreeing with you. If God's not with you, you can have 400 prophets prophesying, Trump shall be president. And when he wasn't getting it, well, he shall get it back soon, now, no, wait a minute, no, wait a minute, maybe in 2024, which that's not going to happen either. So you see, friend, we got to realize that what God is saying, and learn to listen to what He's saying and do what He says. Right. So, yeah. All right. All right. All right. So there you go. Pretty simple. Even Jesus Himself said, "I can do nothing. If the Son of God, who was God in the flesh, said he couldn't do anything without his Father's delegated authority, if you will, then how much more do we think we can just do whatever we want? We have to look. The reason Jesus looked to the Father, y'all, because the Father could see, he knew the overall plan. Jesus didn't know all the overall plan because he said, even I don't even know when I'm going to come back. You know, the angels don't know and I don't know. You know, God hadn't told him. The Father hadn't told me yet, right? He might know now. I don't know if he knows now or not. He probably, I really don't know. But all that's what he said while he was in the earth. He said, I don't even know what I'm going to do, because the Father didn't reveal it to him. because Jesus was so subject to the Father and doing what the Father said that, you know, he didn't do anything. He didn't come against Satan. He didn't do anything. When he went into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, he went because he was driven by the Holy Spirit, right? Driven by the Holy Spirit to go there. In other words, who authored him to go and do that battle? God did. He did nothing. I mean, he didn't cast out a flea or deal with a flea without the Father's permission. Nothing. What makes you think you can, friend? Now, you know, we're going to learn more about this. We're going to find out the things that we have authority over as far as, you know, at a basic everyday level and all that. We're going to get into all that. So get ready for that. It's not that we have to learn there's different levels of authority, right? Yeah. So, it's going to be fun to learn. It's going to be exciting. So please be patient as we go into this thing, we dive into this thing, because this is going to be, the reason we're talking about this, the reason God is downloading this information, putting it together, is because we're getting ready to deal with this stuff in a major way. And if you're not prepared and ready and you're out there doing, well, you know, bless God in the name of Jesus, I can do whatever, you know, I got to throw everything I want. Right. Yeah. Read your Bible, please, and read it correctly. Right. That's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to learn to read it correctly. And so we're learning to do that. And sometimes God removes the defense. They couldn't even go into the, you know, they were in the earth, right, in the natural realm. And Israel couldn't even go in and take Canaan until God says go. And then God finally, after four generations, removed the defenses from the Canaanites. And then God says to Joshua, now go. He couldn't go with a rebellious bunch. Yeah, right? That's why they all died in the wilderness, because they were so rebellious. They would have got there, and the reason God had to stop the whole thing was because, you know, they were so rebellious, constantly rebelling, all the time rebelling. God's people rebelling against God. Think it didn't happen? It does. And you know what happened to them? A lot? Plagues. Yeah, a lot of plagues hit Israel. Plagues and wrath. The wrath of God, which they missed in Egypt because they obeyed God, put the blood on the doorpost. But when they got into the process of going in, all the way into the promised land, and they were in the wilderness, they when they fought against the Lord, this is all in Numbers 14, Numbers 15, they found themselves with God pouring his wrath out. That's what it says. Even David talks about how God poured his wrath out. He used the word wrath. Well, Randy, there's different kinds of wrath. Well, wrath is wrath, friend. Different levels. It's God taking down his own people who rebel against him. That's you and me. It's whoever it is. Doesn't matter. So, but we're not appointed to wrath. That scripture right there has nothing to do with what we're talking about. It has everything to do with the wrath of God is on the lost and the dying that are on their way to hell. The wrath of God is on them because when they die without Jesus, the wrath of God is on them. In other words, they go right straight to hell. That's what it means. The wrath, we're not appointed to wrath, because if you're born again, you're not appointed to wrath. Eternal wrath, going to hell wrath. You're not appointed to that. That's why the scriptures I talk about and trying to help people understand, we're not appointed to that wrath once you're born again. Even if you messed up, even if you rebel. That eternal wrath, now you may get some temporary wrath, some temporary plagues, some temporary things going on if you're in rebellion against the Lord, right? But your eternal wrath, you're not appointed. That's what that scripture says in Thessalonians. It says we're not appointed to that wrath. Yeah, John Paul Jackson had a book about it. Yeah, thank you, Cynthia. I know he did. And so I've never read it before, but I would like to. I wouldn't mind getting it. Somebody can send it to me or something. But yeah, so we're going to talk about it from the perspective that God's given me, and learn from it from John Paul Jackson. Other people have great teachings on this. I'm teaching it in a very practical way, a really easy way to understand scriptures that we've talked about before, things that we relate to, so it'll be easy to kind of grasp in our heads, and easy for me to talk about. By the way, too, that easy for me. And so it's very interesting, and so we're going to learn. Because, oh, and in your realm, we can do anything we want to. But we're going to find out that that we're going to find out, and I'm going to take you to the scripture and find out, just like we did tonight, that even when you're fighting in the earthly realm, if you're fighting companies or people or nations that are under the realm, that are sold out, all the leadership and the nation has been sold out to the devil, you're not just fighting those people in the earthly realm, friend. You may be, oh, we're just fighting in the earthly realm. That's all we're doing. No, you're not. If they're connected, they're connected to the heavenly, to the heavenly host of hell, the principalities and powers. You're fighting principalities and powers, and we're gonna prove all that to you. I'm gonna go through and we're gonna talk about all that, and we're gonna make it real simple. And I'm not coming against Marcus and Joni. I'm not that. It has nothing to do with Randy Shanner doing anything. Right? I'm telling you. I'm saying, thus saith the Lord. And so you're seeing those things come to pass, and they're going to keep coming to pass unless the people quit rebelling against the Lord. It's the rebellion against the Lord. It's not because they're bad people, you know, good people, you know, who have, you know, they've talked themselves into things they can do, and they do it with their nose in the air, and they're going to trip and fall, and they're going to, it's going to be bad, but it doesn't mean they're going to go to hell. It's not about going to hell. It's about hell being loose on you on earth. The Bible, listen, let me tell you something. You know, that scripture, let me look at that scripture one more time that I'm talking about here. We're not appointed to wrath. We are not appointed to wrath. Let's look at that scripture, 1 Thessalonians 5, in the Bible Hub. Look at the Bible Hub. It's really cool. Hopefully you can get to like it. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but receive salvation. The Lord Jesus Christ. But since we, and the verse before that, let's look at that. Let's look at it just for a second so we can kind of understand why I'm even bringing this up, okay? That way you can see it. All right, so I'm at, I'm going to get it here. Okay. What did I just say? Verse 8? I'm trying to go here. Give me a second. I'm going to get this. All right. Okay. Okay, verse 9 says, for God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation, right? To obtain salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, whether awake or sleep, we should live together with him. Comfort one another with these words. Okay, but see, look at the scriptures above that. Verse 4. But you, brethren, are not in darkness. In other words, you're not of hell. You're not of the devil. That this day should overtake you as a thief. Right? So he's talking about born-again believers who are not in darkness, but we are all sons of light. Sons of the day. We are not of the darkness. In other words, we're children of heaven, not children of hell. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, verse 6, but let us watch and be sober, for those who sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and a helmet of salvation, the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ, right? So, so anyway, this has to do with the difference between people of darkness and light, right? Even if you're in rebellion against the Lord, yeah, you have a certain amount of darkness about you, but you're born again, you have a light, you have the light of salvation inside you. And so you are not appointed to eternal wrath. In other words, when Jesus comes, people are going to be sent to hell. That wrath is upon, that the wrath he's talking about there is a different kind of wrath than the wrath that came upon Israel many times. Go, just do a search on it, wrath on Israel, the wrath that came on Israel, the wrath, just do a search on that. And they're going to discuss, they'll try to tell you, there's just different kinds of, yeah, there's different kind of wrath. There is different kinds of wrath. But this kind of wrath is eternal wrath. It's on every sinner, every person that lives and that is born of the, that is, hasn't been born again. All right? I'm trying to make it clear as I can. So, but, and the reason I can say that that with clarity is because you see how, you know, in Numbers where they rebelled against the Lord, it said the wrath of God came on them. And these were, this was Israel. This was God's chosen people. And it says wrath came on them, right? They escaped wrath in Egypt, right? That was wrath. When they got out in the wilderness and they rebelled against the Lord deliberately and willfully over and over again, it says his wrath came upon them. So if we're not appointed to wrath, then why did the wrath come on? Because that was, that's not eternal wrath, right? That's the wrath that God gets hot and heated and says, I got to get you out of the way so I can get my job done. You know, a lot of Christians die early because they're in rebellion against the Lord, and God gets them, removes them. You know, well, that's sad, but he does. He removes them. Do not fear Satan, who can just kill your body, but fear God, who can kill your body and cast you into hell. That's the wrath it's talking about. Because you see too many scriptures that oppose that thinking, that they quite a quote say that's what that means. It has nothing to do with that. It has everything to do with eternal wrath upon people who are not born again. Okay, I'm trying to make it clear. I'm not really a teacher, but I'm a revelator, and so we do like to get into that stuff and talk about it. So thank you for being patient with me as we go through that stuff. Hope you understand 1 Kings 22 a little bit there and getting a hold of that, because it's very important that we get a hold of it. Very, very important that we get a hold of it, okay? All right. All right, hang on a second. I'll be right back. I'm going to be right back. Hang on. Okay, give me just a second here. Be right there. We're going to take callers tonight. Thank you for being with us. Thanks for learning along with me, and it's kind of fun. So we're here to learn and see what the Lord take. We're taking these yoke upon us. We're going to learn of Him. Even if God corrects me in front of everybody, I just shouldn't do that now as anything else, right? Yeah, I'd rather Him change me now than change me later, right in the middle of everything. All right. Okay. All right, we're ready to take our callers tonight. Thank you for being with us. Wednesday night is when we talk to people, prophesy to everybody that calls in, for anywhere from, you know, 20 to 40 people on Thursday, on Wednesday nights. And so thanks for being a part of that. And we are going to start doing that right now. Okay. All right, y'all pray for me. Sometimes there's a lot of things going on during the show. And so I need help. I need prayer that I do everything good and keep up with everything, all right? All right, so let's take my first call tonight, 662-806. Who am I talking to you from, please?
Hi, Randy. It's Cynthia from Mississippi.
Thank you, Cynthia. All right, thank you, Lord, for Cynthia tonight. God, thank you for your grace, your unmerited favor, Father. You're teaching her your unmerited favor. Sometimes we, you know, we just go through things where the only thing we can do is throw our hands up and go, you know, God, your grace is sufficient for me. Paul the Apostle, Cynthia, as you know, had to learn that. And if Paul the Apostle had to learn it or needed to learn it for various reasons, you know, how much you or me or us learning how, because he was such a merited person. He was under the law. He was a lawyer. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees, very dedicated to God, probably kept the law better than anybody. He was really dedicated. He wasn't some hypocrite. And so, you know, he was so used to everything being done by merit and earning his salvation, if you earning it by, you know, doing things right and knowing the law and trying to obey the law the best he could. So when Jesus knocked him off his horse and he got saved, then he had to learn how to not do that anymore, right? Live off merit, which we all were raised all of our life to live by merit, by, well, you do this, I'll do that for you. Well, in salvation, that doesn't work. Now, in, you know, in our everyday life, the business side of God, that does work. You do this for me, I'll do that for you. Because he says, do it for me. Don't just go out there and do your own thing, right? But when you do things for me, then I will do things for you. You know, and I was, you know, the talents where you took the talent and you multiplied it. He says, now I'm going to give you 10 cities or whatever. Or, yeah. And so and the guy who didn't do anything with his, he didn't fear, it got taken away from him, right? So that's kind of the business side of God. And that's what we've got to learn in the body. The business side of God is completely different from the tender, loving shepherd who forgives us, loves us, and is teaching us to grow and learn and, you know, all that. So that merited favor means that as far as our salvation and trying to keep our salvation, you know, by, you know, performing right, because once you're born again, that's why that teaching is so bad, because it teaches people to perform, and you do this for me, I'll do this for you in my salvation, right? And that God doesn't do that. Salvation is free. You don't buy it. I don't buy it. And Paul had to learn how to, you know, live in the realm of grace on purpose. He was given a thorn in the flesh because it's so much had he had so much knowledge. You know, he's such a knowledgeable, a genius type person. So thank you, Lord, for showing, you know, us, showing my sister tonight, God, Cynthia, how to live by your grace to some things that we just can't figure out. We can't seem to get going. We can't seem to make it happen. And we just say, God, you know, by your grace, you're going to have to show me. By your grace, you're going to have to do it. And, you know, you're going to have to help me, you know, overcome the things that I'm trying to overcome, you know, the daily things that we go through. You know, to keep our life, not so we can go to heaven, because once you're born again, you're going to heaven. But it's how to keep your life so that you can enter into the promises of God. And so keeping your life is done by grace, right? And when you walk by grace, unmerited favor, then you start walking in obedience. And God starts showing you what to do, and you're not doing things on your own. Right? Paul was so used to just doing the right thing. God had to teach him how to. You just can't do the right thing anymore, Paul. You have to do what I tell you, like Jesus. Only do what the Father says to do. And Paul was so used to just obeying the law, right? And now he had to learn how to Jesus, right? And so anyway, it's a thing that I think we're all really learning. And the Galatians obviously didn't learn it very well, because they said, you know, they had, you know, started trying to obey the law again. And it's easy to slip off into that. So God has to keep us and show us that it's by my grace, my unmerited favor, that I, you know, I'm going to bring you through it. It's not by how hard you work or how all that. It's by my unmerited favor. So God's teaching how to walk in his grace, his unmerited favor. And, yeah, because when you walk in that, then you find yourself walking in obedience to what God is saying, which is unmerited favor in a sense. He says it to you, and then he empowers you to obey, right? It's all him doing it in you and through you, right? Yeah, you come into agreement with it. Wherever two more agree is touching it, it shall be done. So you come into agreement, and he does it, right? It's not you doing it and believing God to put all the stuff together, but it's by the grace of God. Amen. All right. Awesome. What a good word. All right. Thank you. 202-722. Who am I talking to the phone, please?
Good evening, Brother Randy. This is Daryl Paul from Maryland and Nicole from D.C.
All right, Daryl Paul. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Lord, for Daryl Paul, Father. Thank you for the power of resurrection, God, that you can, your resurrection power. If we learn to lean on that and live in that and dwell in that and learn that resurrection power is the power that we have from God that can supersede anything, even when things look like they're not going to work, when they're over, when it's not happening, whatever the thing is. Am I ever going to get this raise? Am I ever going to get this blessing, this breakthrough? Is it ever going to happen? You know, and so to know that even when things look dead, we keep our hope in Christ. That's what Joseph did. He kept his hope in God when his vision of being raised up by God in his mighty way was seen dead. It just seemed dead. What did he do? He kept believing. The resurrection power of Christ, we walk in today. We have a better covenant, so we even have a different relationship with God in that sense that but we're believing in a resurrected Christ, means that when all looked like Jesus was done, they killed him, all the disciples ran and hid. You know, who could blame them, right? They thought, oh my God, have we been deceived? What's going on? And then came the resurrection. It'll all look over, it looked done, it looked finished, you know, and then boom, you know, they just went, oh wow, he's alive forevermore. And our whole salvation is based on that, really. And to think we believe in God for his resurrection power. He can do it. He will do it. We don't let those things that look like they're dead in the water or whatever, or look like, but we keep our hope in Christ. And at any moment, God can resurrect from the dead. Amen. All right. And Nicole, thank you, Lord, for Nicole. Thank you, Lord, for overcoming death, hell, and the grave. God, I thank you, Lord, for that's the Spirit of the Lord to dealing with death, hell, and the grave, how that, you know, Christ has delivered us from death, hell, and the grave, and how that people need to know that, they need to hear it. I know you talked about it. I've heard you talk about it on your show, death, hell, and the grave. Powerful, powerful teaching, by the way. You're talking about the book of Revelation. And so there's something about that. I don't know what that is, but I don't know if it's an evangelistic thing in you. I'm not sure. I don't know. I don't know what that means. But understanding that we've been delivered from death, hell, and the grave, in whatever manner that God has shown you that we're going to see that realm of death, hell, and the grave, you know, and to be manifest, that God's going to start teaching it to people so they can see, hey, there's a heaven, there's a hell, there's going to be judgment. There's going to be, you know, what I need to make sure that I'm right with God, because when that door closes, that I'm doomed, that I'm sealed. And people need to know that. I think we're going to come to a time, we've entered into a time, Nicole, where that we're going to, the fear of that, God is really concerned about that with the lost, that he knows the truth. They don't know the truth. They need to be told the truth, and God's going to use you to do that. Amen. All right, 325-280, I'm going to talk to your friend, please.
Chris from Texas.
Hey, Chris. All right, Chris. Thank you, Lord, Chris from Texas. Thank you, Jesus, Father, for that surrendering heart, God. You've given him to surrender to you, God. You know, when we surrender to God, like the teaching we got into tonight about how that Micaiah tried to get Ahab, to save Ahab, you know, actually he knew he was going to go down, but he tried to tell him, you know, surrender to God. Don't go out there, Ahab, and do your own thing. Surrender to God. When you surrender to God, as you know, Chris, that's when all things become possible. But we live in a surrendered lifestyle where we surrender to him constantly. When we don't get our way, when something's not happening that we think, then what do? We say, okay, God, I don't know what's going on. I surrender to you. And we surrender to God when we surrender to him, because we have authority in the earth. Through Christ, when we surrender to him, if Ahab would have surrendered to God and said, God, I'm sorry, hey, Micaiah is right, I don't hate him, I love him, I surrender to what God said to him, then he would have saved himself, right? And he would have prospered. He could have turned everything around, right? But he didn't listen to the word of the Lord. And so listening to the word of the Lord, what God says, is extremely important. Because it's when we hear the word of the Lord, we surrender to the word of the Lord, to the Bible. Paul the Apostle told Timothy, he said, listen to your prophecies. Remember 1 Timothy 3:16 or 3:18 talks about that, where Paul the Apostle said to win the warfare, to win the battle, listen to those words God's given you, those prophecies. He specifically said prophecies that you've been given about yourself, and not just prophecies in the Bible, but prophecies about you. Specifically over you, the prophetic word, and meditate on them, learn them, and so you can do a great warfare and win the battle. And that's how we say surrender to him, is that we sometimes, Jesus even came to a point where he was always surrendered to the Father, but at the Garden of Gethsemane, he was saying, man, you know, God, I got a really good idea here. We could keep doing revival. He didn't say this revival, but that's what I'm saying. We could keep healing people, you know, resurrecting people from the dead, have revival, and then 3 more years, I could die. I could give my life, right? And the Father said, no, we're going to do it now. Now's the time. Now the door is open for you to move into that. I need you to do it now. And he surrendered. And because he surrendered, he ended up winning the victory forever, right? Forever and ever. So God's showing you how to surrender to him, surrender to his word, so you can win a fight, a good fight, and win. Not just fight. We're not just fighting, Chris. You know, we're here because when we listen to what Jesus says and the word of the Lord says, we listen to that, meditate on it, and become part of our life, then we win the victory that he has already won. Why? Because we do according to his word. We surrender to his word. I surrender all. Oh, remember that song. I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. Amen. And I just hear you, see you, you know, what a beautiful thing to be surrendered to God. It's an amazing, beautiful thing in God's eyes. All right. So 863-268, I'm going to talk to your phone, please.
Hey, Randy, it's Charles and Nikki, and could you pray for Destiny, please?
Pray for Destiny, yes.
Hey, Randy.
Okay, whoops. Yeah.
There was a shooting, and a guy got killed at her restaurant 2 days ago, and he was on national TV and everything, and it scared the daylights out of her. So could we just lift her up? And
did they interview her or something? Did they interview her?
Yeah. Our sheriff came in. There was detectives everywhere, and the young guy, he was 21 years of age. He was running from the law. He was a drug addict, and you know he had money on him and drugs and all that and guns. And they did a pivot move on him, and he lost control of his vehicle, jumped out of it, run into the parking lot of where Destiny worked at, hijacked a vehicle from an elderly lady. The captain of the sheriff's department, police department, shot him 6 times point-blank range through the windshield because he's trying to run him over. And the guy still was living, and he lost control and ran into a side of a building, and the vehicle went halfway inside of it, and he died. But it was very traumatizing to a lot of people. The customers inside the restaurant were throwing up and everything. And then our sheriff of Polk County came back in and, you know, just told Destiny how brave she was and all. And they did our news, our local news broadcasters came in and interviewed her because she was the manager on shift that day. And so anyways, she's still kind of shook up by it and all, but if we could just pray for,
Okay. Wow. Thanks for telling me that, Mickey. Thank you very much. All right. Thank you. Yeah, we pray for Destiny tonight, God. That I think she's went on that went on today, right? Is that today or yesterday? Just in the last day or so. Wow, what an amazing thing. You know, the whole time you were talking about that, I have to be honest with you. What I was thinking was that, you know, sometimes when you're right in the middle of things, when God has called you to be right in the middle of things, you're right in the middle of things. And so just like in my own personal life, you know, I can say that, you know, prophetically, you know, God puts you right in the middle. I remember when they had when the terrorists came from Florida, from y'all's place down there, came up here to Texas and right down the street from me. You know, I mean, at the time, we had the grandkids at a McDonald's down the street from the place that they did the shooting the night that it happened, right? We were just right down the street from it. And that was a terrorist attack that got, you know, global. That's just one of many things where we've been just found ourselves right in the middle of things. And when you were talking that about her right now, that, you know, I hate to say that's what I was thinking. That girl's right, going to be right in the middle of stuff. And we thank you, Lord, for giving her courage, giving her strength, God, that she will realize that she's been chosen to when you're right in the middle of stuff, things go crazy around you sometimes, but it doesn't harm you. It doesn't touch you. They broke through the door, went to the building, whatever. But it didn't, you know, hurt her, right? So we're going to get used to that kind of thing, where we're right in the middle of things. And so I thank you, Lord, for that. I can't give you any other word other than what I get. But thank you, Jesus, for showing her that, God, and for equipping her for that. She is equipped for that. And that's just another thing that she's going to find herself in, and God's going to use it. And it's going to be really cool. So, yeah, and protect her, keep her, watch over. You are watching over her. You are protecting her, God. She goes through battles just like we all do. And sometimes we might come short a little bit on some things, you know, and emotionally, mentally, spiritually, physically, we may, you know, but you know, God says, hey, just keep going at it. Keep going at it. I'm making you strong. I'm building you up because I'm going to have you right in the middle of things. And so you can witness it and see it, and yet it's not going to come near your dwelling. So we thank you, Jesus, for that. And for Nikki and Charles, God, I thank you for Nikki, God. I thank you, Lord, for her, you know, giving birth to that girl. And thank you, Jesus, for opening up her heart to pray and believe God for, you know, when you're called to be in the middle of things, you just got to get ready because you're going to be right in the middle of things, one way or the other. And, you know, I kind of enjoy it personally. Maybe I shouldn't as much as I do, but, you know, when you're called to be in the middle of it, you rather enjoy it. It's scary, but you find yourself rather enjoying it, you know. So may you guys learn to enjoy that, you know, be a part of it. And it's scary. It's all that kind of stuff for sure. But we're right in the middle of it. And, you know, so yeah, I can't get off that word right now for some reason. But, and Charles, too, God, you called them to be right in the middle of things, right in the middle of what's happening, right in the center of God's attention of what he's doing in the earth. And when things go down and the devil's being, you know, being chased and this, sinners are on their way, you know, to, you know, like I'm sure he, if unless he was, you know, if he was born again, he was definitely in rebellion against the Lord. It didn't mean he went to hell, but it sounds like if he was born again, he got sent to heaven a little early, you know, in some really horrible circumstances, but it doesn't sound like he was saved. So, but, you know, we thank you, Lord, that, that we're going to see that stuff. We're going to watch the destruction of noonday. The pestilence is going to be all around us, but it's not going to come near our dwelling. And God wants us to begin. I think that's a sign of that. That's a sign of that. Psalm 91. We got into Psalm 91 the other night. God's going to have us right in the middle. You know, I never even thought about that until right now. But I don't want to read the whole thing right now. But I'm pretty tempted to because it's so. I'm really getting something on that right now. This very moment. Psalm 91. Okay, thank God for Bible Hub. I may just go there just for a second, right? Then I got to obey the Holy Spirit. This might be for somebody else too, right? He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High God shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I say, Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God, and my trust. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler, from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers. Under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrows that fly by day, nor the pestilence that walks in the darkness, nor the destruction that lays at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. In other words, you're going to be right in the middle of it because you're going to see it with your eyes. You shall look only with your eyes. Verse 8, will you look and see the reward of the wicked. Now, nobody wants anybody to go to hell. You know, we're not talking about that. We're gonna have to get used to this, y'all. I hate to tell you. I mean, I don't hate to tell you. I'm enjoying telling you. We're going to get used to this stuff where we're going to see, you know, things being dealt with right in front of us. So, amen, Charles, Nikki, Destiny, y'all. Get ready to get right down. Get ready. Yeah, to see it all around you. Get ready. Yeah, but it won't come near your dwelling. Amen. All right. All right, 972-695. Who am I talking to you from, please?
Hey, Randy. It's Terrence and Tanisha from Texas.
Hey. All right. Good to have you guys. All right, Terrence and Tanisha. Terrence and Tanisha do shows on Wednesdays. Most of the time, unless they have something, we're scheduled them out where they can't be there. But thank God for you guys. Thank God for your life. Thank God for, you know, that thing I'm talking about with Nikki and Charles and Destiny and all that. You know, that's one thing that. You know, everybody gets prepared for that in different ways. So when you're called and chosen of God, you're chosen to be in the spotlight, one way or the other, one way or the other. So we go through training. This is for both of you guys. We go through training of how the devil comes against us, he fights us in all different kinds of ways. And we learn how to, you know, yield to God, fight God's way, and we make a mistake, we redo it and learn again, and we just keep going until we get it right, right? And so being in the spotlight is you know, a wonderful thing. At the same time, it puts a lot more pressure on because you realize what you're doing is going to be seen or known, you know, all over. And so when you're called to that, when you're chosen for that, you know, that's what's going to happen. Like the Joseph. Joseph was, you know, called or chosen. He went through a lot, and he was made for the spotlight. God made him for the spotlight. In other words, we still put the spotlight on Joseph to this day. And but all the training he went through was really some tough stuff, right? But God always prospered him no matter what. And so that's the thing God wants to show us, that even when we get, you know, accused by Potiphar's wife or thrown out by our brothers or, you know, put in prison and being in prison, you know, whatever the things they are, that that God always was with Joseph and prospered him regardless of what happened around him. And that's the main thing God tries to show us. Yes, I'm going to prepare a table for you in the midst of your enemies so that I can show you that I prepare a table. I'm making a way where there seems to be no way. And hang on a second. Because God's making a way where there seems to be no way, He's prepared a table for in the midst of us. That we're always gonna find ourselves with our table being prepared before enemies, one way or the other. Why? Because God has chosen us for that kind of, you know, being in the light. And so when we're in that light, then we got to learn how to work it and all that kind of thing. And then eventually the light that shines on, look what God did. Look what God, that's what the light's for. Look what God's doing and look what God did and does and has done. So I thank you, Lord, for all the training, all the things we go through, for knowing that when you're chosen. Sometimes people think, oh, I want to be chosen of God. I want to be chosen of God. Well, of course we do. You know, who doesn't want to be chosen of their father to be whatever? You know, we all do, and we should want that. And so, but when it happens, sometimes we go like, maybe I can change my mind now. Nope, too late. But when the training's over, when all this stuff's going on and the light's shining on us, they're going to go, wow, if I'd have only known. That's what they said about Joseph. Joseph's brother said, well, man, if I'd have only known, we would have never done that. Well, then he wouldn't have been the big boy over there that saved them all, right? Yeah, when he was raised up by Pharaoh and by God, he would have never done it. So they had to come against him, had to fight him, just like with Jesus. They crucified him, and then he became Lord, right? But he had to be crucified in order to become Lord. And so Joseph had to be and grow and learn, right? And so when he was put in the spotlight, because he was honest and truthful and did things before God at all times, then when it came time to Egypt, you know, he trusted him with everything, just like all the other guys did, because he did, God was with him, and he prospered, and he was honest and truthful, and he was the kind of guy that, you know, you could give your stuff to, and you have to worry about him doing something with it other than what you wanted and what was best, and he was, yeah, so there you go. Training, blessing, preparation. All right, 769-220, who am I talking to, your company? Very good. All right, I think Andrika's probably. All right, this Andrika. All right, Trika. Andrika and Chris. Lord, we thank you for Andrika and Chris tonight, God. Thank you, Lord, for blessing them, God. Thank you for your favor. Thank you for their prayer life. Thank you for their joining together and learning how to stay in agreement about things. Learn how to stay in agreement with those that you're called to be around, you're called, you're chosen to work with. We don't have to agree on every little detail of everything, but just generally overall that we're called to be together, like in business partners or friends or husbands or wives or family, you know, people that we're called to work with. One thing we have to maintain is that we're called to be together. You know, we don't have to agree on every little detail, but being together, and that agreement, that unity in that is what, you know, brings our protection, what brings, keeps the enemy from getting in between us, right? So, you know, we agreeing to disagree on something like, I don't agree with the way you air tires up. Oh, I don't agree with the way you know, you should turn the tire up this way, not that way. Who cares? But it's, everybody has a preference, right? So we can agree to disagree on things that really have no difference. And so we come in agreement, even in our disagreements. So learning how to agree with one another and come in, even when we disagree on things, to be in agreement on things, because that's what keeps us in agreement. And whatever two or more agree is touching something, it shall be done. And I thank you, Lord, for the wisdom you've given them, how to do that, how to walk in that, how to walk in with business partners, with friends, with people that they deal with to do that. When God has called you to be in business with somebody or do business with some company or whoever it is, you know, God gives you wisdom on how to stay in unity with them. They may be heathens, but God can give you favor with them and show you how to stay in unity with them, right? How to, you know, be a good servant, how to serve well, and stay in that thing of unity, even though we totally on the both sides, on different sides of the kingdom even, right? But yet how God can give us favor. Favor is what shows us how to keep favor with people, with the ones that God has given us to be in favor with, so we can, you know, not have things come between us and try to destroy what we're doing, what God's having us do. So blessings and unity, I see that. And agreement. We think agreement is everything has to be perfectly aligned. Are you kidding me? That ain't never going to happen. Not everything. So there you go. Beautiful thing. And God teaches us how to do that so we can maintain the unity in the spirit and continue to be covered and protected and two shall put 10,000. Yeah. There you go. All right. All right. Hang on just a second. I'll be right back. All right, I am back. Hallelujah. All right, let's go here to 402-650. Who am I talking to? Where you come, please? All right, 402-650, are you there? Okay. All right, I don't think that is. You can choose this 402. Are you there? 650, hello? All right. Thank you, Jesus, for 402-650. Thank you, God, for the pleasure, God, teaching them about pleasure, what pleases God. You know, God has made us for pleasure. Pleasure is important. Pleasure is an important part of God. Pleasure is a part of God that that we need to learn more about, because without faith, you can't please him, right? And so, what does faith do? Faith has a lot of different levels of pleasure. It's not just doing what God says that pleases him and makes him, you know, could do some great thing, but it is everyday life things, you know, that bring pleasure. Pleasure is a beautiful thing to make, to please your husband, to please your wife, to please your family, to please your, you know, whoever, your boss, whoever you're doing, to please. It's the whole realm of life that God has made. And he wants us to have pleasure. Pleasure is not some wicked thing. Pleasure is a God thing. When it's a God thing, now, if it's definitely not in the Bible that it's not good, then it's not going to bring pleasure. If it's the wrong kind of pleasure, it can be wrong. But the right kind of pleasure, so it all comes, God has made pleasure because what he likes it when we please him. He likes pleasure. He enjoys, he made us to have pleasure, to have pleasure in life. And with godly things, with good things, with things that are in the natural realm that God has given us to enjoy and have pleasure with, it's part of it. So God's going to teach you about that and show you, help you understand, you know, number one, of course, without faith, we can't please him, but pleasure in different ways that God's showing you all the different things that please him and that bring pleasure to us, bring pleasure. You know, it pleases us. The Proverbs says when a child is obedient to their parents and listen to their parents, that pleases. It brings great pleasure to the parent, you know, that kind of thing. The things that bring pleasure in God's realm is truly amazing, and God's going to show you that. So you can live a realm of pleasure. Amen? You be pleased, God be pleased, people be pleased. But and God, not a man-pleaser, but a God-pleaser in doing God things. There you go. All right, 111, I'm going to talk to you some, please.
Hey, Randy, Jeff in Denver, Yuki in Thailand.
Are you sure you're in Colorado? I mean, I don't know. I think...
pretty sure.
Okay, pretty sure. I understand, man. All right, thank you. I'd like to message you. I talked about you tonight. I hope your ears were burning a little bit. What was I talking about? Something about, anyway, doesn't matter, but yeah, so thank you, Lord, for Jeff and you, Dolly. Thank you, Lord, for Yuki in Thailand. She's there. She got kind of stuck there on some things, and we're believing God to loose her, right, and to get her buzzed and you know, she can be with us. We're going to learn to be with each other. And, oh, there you go. There's the word right there. Learn how to, like Paul the Apostle said, he said, I'm not there with you, but I'm there with you in spirit. So in other words, we can be with each other and be separate and be with each other in spirit. Oh, there you go. So God showing you guys how to, while you're apart, so you can communicate and all that kind of thing. But, you know, there's nothing like being around somebody physically and literally in the same house or whatever, but with them. But learning how to communicate without even communicating. You know, Jesus did that. He knew what people were thinking. He knew what he knew without the communication what was going on. So God teaching you guys, both of y'all, how to communicate, how to have fellowship with each other, even like she's in Thailand and you're in Colorado, no doubt. So in learning how to, you know, Paul, like Paul said, I'm not with you there, but I'm with you in spirit. I'm not physically with you, but I'm with you. So it's teaching you guys how to flow in it, how to walk in it, how to be with each other, you know, especially when you're married to each other. You know, Paul was not married to them, but he was married to them in a sense. He was bound to them by God. So there was that communication, that connection that they had with each other. Paul knew what was going on. He knew, he felt the spirit of things, what was happening. He knew how to bring protection, how to pray protection over them, how to pray protection that God would keep them and bless them. And, you know, like he was there, but he wasn't there. So he could feel and know. That's the thing. In the spirit realm, there is no separation, right? We're there, even though we're not there and physically. And so, wow, what a cool word. So he's teaching you guys how to walk in it, just, not just with each other, but with, in other situations. When God connects me with something, like when he speaks to me supernaturally, gives me a word about somebody's name or whatever, or connects me with somebody, you know, and he does it, then I'm with them even, you know, when I don't know everything they do all the time because that's not what's important, but it's important, the important things, you know, what's their purpose, what's going on, what do I pray, how do I pray? I know that. I'm there, you know, at times I'm with them, I know what's happening, and my spirit man knows, and I'm there, but I'm not there. Like I went to Lebanon one time in my spirit, yet I never went to Lebanon in my spirit, you know, at the time, back in the 80s, and yet I was, you know, felt what was going on there. New. So God really showing you guys how to, you know, become aware of that and not just for the benefit of each other, to help protect and watch over and pray and encourage each other, even when you're not there and can't talk physically, but to do it for other reasons, for other purposes, you know, how to go places, how to be connected to something and be there without being there. Like the prophet Elijah and Elisha said, you know, they said, hey, man, told the king, said, king, you know, Israel's our enemy, but we're not telling on you. We're not ratting on you. We're not telling you. No, that's Elijah. Elijah is in, he gets in your bedroom. He gets in your bed chambers. He knows what you're talking about privately, that kind of thing. So it's a prophetic thing. It's a really cool thing. Anyway, there you go. And be able to help, be able to help each other, to be able to bless, protect, watch over, feel each other, pick up on each other. Amen. And support each other. Amen. All right. 240-482. Can I talk to the front, please? 240. Let's go here. All right. Thank you, Jesus, for my friend tonight. In Jesus' name, I thank the Lord for the anointing, God, to declare and decree a thing, how to speak those things that are not as though they were. 240, I know who you are, but thank you for that, and thank you for God showing you how to hear from him and then begin to get his word that came from heaven or that comes in prayer from heaven, how to get it to manifest in the earth. Most people don't really know how to do that. You know, sometimes they try to force it. They know they heard from God, but they try to force it. Like Peter heard from God. Jesus said, come walk on the water, and he did, and then he began. He sank because he got his eyes off the Lord. So there's a lot of different things that work with this, my friend. And so when you see that and when you know that, you realize that, you know, that there's a lot of things that can go wrong. There's a lot of things we can mess up on. And yet, you know, God gives us chances to learn again and again and again. So we never give up. Keep going. We learn how to speak those things that are not as though they were. so that they can be and so that they will remain to be, right? Not just get started. Peter got started walking on the water. How to remain walking on the water, how to remain, how to keep that thing that God has done, to keep it in his hands, that we don't take it into our hands and try to deal with things, but we keep things, how to keep things in his hand is a really big thing in Jesus' name. All right, there you go, 240. All right, 2754, who am I talking to you from, please?
Hey, Randy, this is John and Tommy from Florida.
Hey, y'all. All right. Good to have you guys, Donald Tony. Thank you, Jesus, for Donald Tony. Thank you, Lord, for that spiritual authority thing, learning about that. God, I'm teaching on that right now, as you might know. You guys might have heard that. I don't know. But we're talking about, you know, in the way that I would teach it, the way I would share it, the way God has kind of shown me about, you know, how that when we have authority from God to do something, nobody can stop it. You know, Jesus said, when God opens up a door, no man can shut it. When God shuts the door, nobody can open it. Right? So we realize that when God gives delegated authority to you guys, you understand that, Donald, that you know, it doesn't matter what. One way or the other, it may look like something unnatural, but God's going to keep doing it because he's opened the door and no man can shut that door. Right? And when he shuts the door, then nobody can open it. Nobody can come through that door. He don't want to come through that door, you know, when that happens. So teaching you that, showing you that, revealing it to you, that man is one thing, God is another. And when we obey God, when we keep walking with God, doing what he says, no matter what he does, ain't nobody. Do it like Jesus, and nobody can mess with you, right? Nobody can stop it. But people think it just automatically happens, but it doesn't, because we learn to listen to God, we do what God says, and when we do that, then he shuts doors that no man can open. He opens doors that no man can shut, because we're going to walk into that place with him. And that God prospering you in his will. The will of God is delegated authority that he gives to do things that seem impossible, right? The things that seem impossible with men are possible with God. Why? Because he delegates authority and says, yeah, I've appointed you to do that. Therefore, you'll do it no matter how high the people are that you're fighting, struggling, or how low, it doesn't matter. When I delegate authority, it's a done deal, right? So it's a done deal. So I hear you saying it's a done deal, and letting it be done is a done deal, right? Like Jesus did on the cross. He said, it is done. It's finished. So we walk in the finished work of Calvary, and we walk in that and live in that. Don and Tanya, you guys know that. And so when we learn to walk that out in our lives, then we can never be defeated. You know, and if you get temporary things going on, it's just temporary, you know, and so he's preparing us for real war, for real battle. And that's what training is. Training is going through things that are like the battle, but are not the real battle, right? But they're very much like it. In the military, they take training. They have, you know, the sound of bullets and dirt and bombs going off, but it's not real, most of it. But it prepares you to get ready for the real thing. So when you do good and you're ready and you're trained well, then when you go to there, you won't fail as much. It's very hard to fail, you know. So, yeah, amen. Training, all the training stuff. All right. Bless you guys. Thank you so much. All right. 614-432. Who am I talking to you from, please?
Yes. Hi, Randy, this is Deborah from Ohio.
All right, Deborah, good to have you now. Deborah from Ohio. Thank you, Lord, for Deborah. Thank you, Lord, for that sanctified, set apart. When God sanctifies you and sets you apart and you come into agreement with that, Deborah, you know, what God does is that he does that so that you can hear his voice clearly, so that it's like all the other voices, if you will, at this time of being sanctified and set apart. When God does that, he sets you aside and puts you in like in a room, and where it's just you and him, and y'all talk and you visit, and you just get to know his voice without outside voices. Get to know his voice, know his tone, know the way he does things, know how he says things when he gets excited, know how he says things when he gets angry, know how he says things when he's calm and peaceful, and know how he sleeps, know how he wakes, know how he is every day. And then after that sanctified, set apart thing happens, set apart, sanctified, right? Then he puts you out in the middle of your enemies and middle of the world, all what kind of voices going on everywhere, and yet you are so familiar with that voice that when you hear that voice, you know, in the midst of all the screaming, hollering, yelling, oh, that right there, that's him. I know that's him, right? That's why sanctified and set apart is such a powerful thing that God does for us, Deborah. It's because that's what we do. We come to know his voice in quiet and peace in the secret place. Then we get out there in the noisy, crazy place. We are so familiar with his voice that all the other voices, we just know they're not right. So I see God walking you through that, and so you can learn to know his voice. And then what it feels like, you know, what it is like, what it sounds like, all the different nature of his voice. Amen. Because it's important to know sometimes he does get angry. What's it like when God gets angry about something? Is it injustice? No. Is it unjust? No. It's always just. But to learn what it sounds like, that the vibrations of the anger, you know, and it's love, but yet it's, you know, passion and protection, and you know, yeah. So very powerful, very powerful. All right, Deborah, thank you. All right, 803-991, can I talk to you from, please?
Hi, Randy, it's Angela from South Carolina.
Hey, Angela, you know what? I was just, the very word I just gave Deborah right there, I was thinking about that with you, you know, today, actually. I was thinking that God would sanctify you, set you apart. I honestly didn't pay attention to you being next. That's what I see God doing, has done, is that he's, you know, trying to show you his ways. And, like, not just, you know, not just hearing what other people are saying only, but hearing, knowing the ways of God, God teaching you his ways. Because when you know his ways, Angela, when you know his ways, you know how he does stuff. And you go right away, that ain't him. You know, I've been with him. I know how he does it. That, because sometimes we learn from God, and he shows us his ways. When you know his ways, it's not just like you kind of like, you see two houses being built on the same block, two different companies, and you know how a company builds houses and how well they do it and the details that you walk up to the house, you can look at that house and go, that's not him. That's not the owner I know. And you go to the other one, you go, look at that one, look at the detail. Oh, yeah, that's him. That's him. You know, because you know his ways. You know how he does things. You know how what he does and what he doesn't do. And that takes a time to learn that. Because sometimes we think we know, and then we find out we didn't really know as much. That happens to me all the time. And I'm always learning what I don't know. He spends more time teaching me stuff. He said, yeah, Randy, let me tell you what I'm not into. You know, he shows me stuff that he – and so but mainly that you learn that by watching him and watching him build things, watching him do things. And, yeah, so – yeah, so very important. God has sanctified you and set you apart to teach you, for you to learn of him. Come and take my yoke upon you, the Lord says, Angela, and learn of me. It's not about learning of principles only and learning of, you know, what the Bible says, though we got to learn that, got to get that in our heart. But it all reveals him as a person, this whole thing about the person of God, the person of Jesus Christ. Come and take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. You're not just learn the things of the Bible, the things of the Word of God. Of course that, but when we remember that we've been sanctified and set apart and learning his ways, you get to know that through learning him, how he does it. That way when you see something that, you know, you go, you know, I mean, it kind of painted it the same color, used the same kind of wood, but the work, was the specific detailed work? No, that's not him. This is him. This is him. And kind of knowing his ways, how he does the. Yeah, so that's pretty cool. All right, pretty amazing. Thank you, Jesus. All right, Angela, thank you. God bless you. All right, 915-929, you want to talk to me from, please?
This is Carmen from Texas. Also pray for Daniel.
All right. We can do that. All right, Carmen, thank you. Carmen and Daniel. She noticed she didn't say Daniel from Texas, so I'm wondering where he's at now. Not really. Yeah, thank you, Lord, for Daniel. God, we thank you for Daniel. We thank you, Lord, that the leads for the healing of the nations, that God, there's you want to do a healing, all kinds of healing in all kinds of ways. And when people get healed, when they truly get healed by God, not just healed by people, not just healed by ourselves, but healed by God and following after Him, and when we get healed by Him, then we go out and heal others. You know, heal relationships, heal friendships, heal business, heal healing is getting people connected with God so they can do things God's way. But when you start doing things God's way, Daniel, as you know, you start finding yourself being healed. Right? When we don't do the things that God says, then we find ourselves being broken and, you know, torn up and, you know, things just fall apart. That's the way it's always been with me, at least. It's in the Bible, too, of course. But God's showing you that that healing is something that He's doing in you, and so He can do it through you, right? We're all being healed. I'm still being healed to this day. I'm still being blessed. I'm still being, you know, Paul the Apostle was always learning about God's unmerited favor to the point he gave him a thorn in the flesh, you know, to where he could learn of grace, unmerited favor, because he was still being healed from being a doer of the law on his own, right? He was very good at it, I think. So he had to be healed from that. There's a lot of things we get healed from. We don't consider that healing, but he was being healed from that. Right? And so God did that for him so he could learn how to live from grace, unmerited favor, instead of, you know, doing everything perfect, doing everything right. And when he didn't, he felt condemned. He felt like he wasn't right with God. He felt like God really healed him of that. Person who lived the law like he did, he was a great lawyer, great Pharisee, who's sincere. But, you know, when you come to Jesus, we don't do that anymore. They could never even fulfill the law, right? Even though as good as they were, he was. But coming in Christ, we can fulfill it in Christ because we got our eyes on him as a person. And Paul was being healed from that process that took a long time because he was very deeply ingrained in, you know, doing a good job and doing it the right way and all that. And God wanted to do now by his Spirit, and he was being healed from doing it, you know, the other way. All right, and for Carmen, thank you, Lord, for Carmen. Joy, thank you, Jesus, for delivering the message, Father, for giving the message. We realize the message that we give, either connect or disconnect people from God. You know, we get messages from God, like, you know, we learned tonight about Micaiah giving the right message. The 400 false prophets gave the wrong message and got people killed, got people, messed up. And Micaiah gave one word. If they would have obeyed that word, they would have been safe and protected and wouldn't have been all destroyed. So the messages are very important. The message that we listen to, the people that we listen to, what we believe. It's not just hearing a message. It's believing a message. And so when we believe a message that is right, then we get blessed. We believe a message that is wrong, then we go the wrong way. It's just that simple. So God's showing you how to, you know, about the message realm, who gives messages, what it's about, and when it's God, it takes you the right direction. When it's not God, even if it contradicts everybody else, if it's the right message, you know, no matter whether you're the only one doing it, you know, God's going to cause it to happen because it's his message, it's his word, and the message that he gives take you in the direction that God's blessing it and doing it, and it's his will and his purpose. Right? Messages are extremely important. Right? The message of the Bible, like, you know, the messages that come from Jesus, you know, from the Holy Spirit, the messages that come from false teachers or people who really think they're doing right but have a religious spirit and really believe they're doing right. They're very sincere. They seem very pure. They seem very innocent, but their message is wrong. Doesn't matter. If it's wrong, it's wrong. It leads to death, hell, and destruction. But the message of God leads to life and abundant life. All right? The message. Yeah, there you go. What that's about, I don't know. 612-805, who would talk to me from, please?
Hello, Randy. This is Joyce and Blossom from Minnesota.
Hey, Joyce and Blossom. All right, good to have you guys tonight. The protection around God, I thank you for the protection around to show Joyce that she protected God, that our protection comes from God. It's not about being perfect that gets us protected. It's about knowing that God is our God and that he loves us and he's the shepherd who protects us. He's the shepherd who walks over us, watches over us. Now, in the business realm, God's completely different. We do what he says. We get blessed. We don't. And that's it on that. But as far as the shepherd part of Jesus, and protecting us and keeping us and watching over us in spite of our, you know, not understanding everything or doing everything perfect all the time, that's where grace is sufficient. That's where grace works. That's where God protects us. You know, even if we make a wrong decision about something temporarily, you know, just we all make mistakes. We all do. But grace covers us. We're covered. I keep hearing the word covered. You tell Joyce that what covers her, what covers you, what protects you, what his protection is, what his provision for you. In Jesus' name, amen. And so, all right. And Blossom, thank you, Lord, for Blossom. Thank you, Lord, for her heart, God, the heart you've given her to serve, to serve, to be a lead, to lead. The best leaders are the best servers. Follow after him, serve him, we put him first, Blossom, as you know, and to have a tongue of a ready rider to say and speak what you know God is saying and doing, and saying that and learning how to say that and only that, learning how to communicate with people in love and compassion. And sometimes we have to be strong and have strength and roar like a lion sometimes to wake people up to truth because we know they're going the wrong pathway. There's no question about it. It's not about a matter of opinion thing, but it's a matter of going the wrong way, they're on their way to the wrong to hell or whatever, to roar like a lion, to love them and to get their attention, so. Thank you, Jesus, for that, and bless Blossom, God. Thank you for the heart you've given her, Father, to seek truth and love and to be loved by you, Jesus, and showing her how to be loved by you and how to get the people around her that you called to be in her life that will love her and that she can love in Jesus' name the right way, God's way, God's purposes. All right, 903-808, I'm going to talk to you soon, please. I think my internet's messing up. Hang on a second here. A minute. Let's see where we've been. A minute here. Okay. Oh, there we go. All right. Hang on, my connection to my internet just went off. I can't hear you. Hang on a second. Reconnecting. I'm like you. I think I have internet issues sometimes. Come on. Hang on a second. Hey, give me a minute, Jeannie. Something's going on here. Just a second. Okay. Okay, I think I'm back now. Okay, hold on a second here. I got disconnected. All right, I think I'm back now. All right, 903-808.
Yeah,
okay. There we are. Okay, Jeannie, sorry. My internet would, anyway, so thank you. There we go. Thank you, Jeannie. Thank you, Lord, for recovering all, God. I thank you for the recovering all. The whole message about recovering all, David, when they came in and he had been out, doing God's work, and before he was king, he was still had his guys, his 500 or 400, whatever they were, and they came and raided his camp when he was out, took his family and all that kind of thing, and took his goods and stuff. And he comes back and he went to the priest, and they were gonna stone him, we're working with you, and look what happened. Everything fell apart, and then they got our stuff. They're going to stone him, right? So he goes to the priest, and the priest says, that God says go. So he goes and he recovers it all. So that's what I'm hearing. The word is like recovering it all, and I don't know what that means exactly. I don't know if there's to recover. I know you went through all your stuff with, the inheritance thing and all that. I don't know. I don't know what it has to deal with, but recovering it all sometimes is recovering everything. That even things that we don't even know about. It's not like physical, literal things that we know about, but things that belong to us from God, authority, mantles, things, even financials, all the whole thing. the inheritance of God that belongs. Because God's inheritance, as you know, thank God for our national inheritance, you know, it's a God thing. But with the inheritance we have from God, you know, God's going to restore all that. And so that may have to do with some of that stuff, you know, some financial things, some, you know, things, you know, when you lost your sister, just different things. Things that could have been, things that would have been, but you know, God is a restorer. And he goes to recover it all, to recover it all. I thank you, Lord, that whatever's been lost, whatever's been done, you're going to recover it all. Show what you mean by that. That it's not just things that we know about. Sometimes there's things that we don't know about that have been hidden from us. That have been from ages of generations gone by, from, you know, things that God has spoken over kinfolk and whatever it would be. Right? So so that recovering it all could be something like that. So I thank you, Lord, for that being done, and that she will understand that. You give her wisdom to know that there's things that she doesn't even, not even aware of, that that belong to her, that are hers. God, you're just going to, like, start opening up doors and show that stuff in Jesus' name. Probably has something to do with the end times. I don't even know exactly, but awesome to recover it all. Recover it all. All meaning everything that belonged to anything in your bloodline, right, and to your husband's bloodline. The whole thing, recover it all. God says he wants you to start praying that. Maybe you already do, but start really praying. Maybe go extra prayer or something. A little bit on God, whatever recovered all means, I don't know. But like with Joseph, recovering it all to him meant going back to his father's after he'd been thrown out, cast out, going back to him. Recovering it all would mean going back to Canaan. But literally he realized that recovering it all had to do with ruling in Egypt, which was great, big, compared to where he's talking about. All right, so there you go. All right. 520-343, who am I talking to you from, please?
Anonymous.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Anonymous. Thank you, Lord, for the different prophetic realms, God, for different prophetic realms, for the different voices, different things that claim to be like God, that really, you know, they really think they're of God. They're so sincere that it's almost easy to get caught up into because they're so sincere. You know, some people are so sincere, but they're so sincerely wrong. You know, I mean, we got to know from God what's really right, what's really wrong from God's perspective, not just from our own experiences, but from what the Holy Spirit said, and learning what's right and what's wrong, and from God in the different prophet realms, the different voices that speak in the earth, you know, whoever they are. From a child to a donkey, whatever it is that God's speaking through, you know that what the voice of God is. You know, yeah. So, like Balaam was not really Balaam who his donkey, you know, kept him from getting killed by an angel. And he was not a false prophet. He was really a true prophet. But he also had, he heard from God. God spoke to him. But at the same time, he ended up doing some bad things against Israel. But he was truly a prophet, you know, so he only did what God told him to do as far as prophetically, but other things he, you know, influenced the Balaam or Balak, King Balak, whatever his name was trying to pay him to do things. He still kind of showed him how to trip Israel up, but he never prophesied wrong, you know, so there's people that do that. They do one thing right, the other thing wrong, so that you will know the difference between right and wrong, what's God, what's not God. Amen. And what to walk in, what to understand, what to, you know, don't take everything hook, line, and sinker because it sounds right and sincere. Sincerity does not mean anything. It's what the Spirit of the Lord says. All right. Amen. So, 303-386, I'm going to talk to you.
Hey, Randy, it's Mike. Mike and Veronica. How are you?
Hey. All right. I can barely hear you because you have a lot of noise going on in the background. Mike and Veronica, thank you, Lord, for Mike and Veronica, God. Thank you, God, that as we set the altars in order, God, we set our altar in order. There's different altars. We can set the altar in order outside the family, and then God has to set the altars in order inside the family, you know, and then with ourselves. So there's different altars for different things. And the main thing is really that to get our altar in order, our worship with God in order, our things with God in order. When we get that in order, then that's great. God can bless that. And then we go, we get our family in order, you know, so that altar in order, the family altar, whatever, the marriage altar, the family altar, and then we have, you know, the nations and the things God calls us to do outside the family. So different altars for different things. God's going to show you the different altars and how if we have one messed up, it can mess up the other, and you know, vice versa. But mainly having our own personal altars with God, right, like Elijah was sent to set Israel's altar in order because his altar was in order, you know. You can tell when his altar got out of order after he ran from Jezebel. He kind of got mixed up on his altar wasn't in order anymore. He got confused. He ran in fear. Right? So he had to get his altar back in order again. We have to do that sometimes. And then we go forth again and, you know, do the will of God. So, hallelujah. And Veronica, thank you, Lord. Veronica, you guys learning how to do that. You guys learning how to get your altars in order in the order God has it so that everything be in order. That way the enemy can't come in and bring, you know, take away our prosperity, our blessings, that we can maintain and move forward without being hindered and stopped in Jesus' name. All right. Awesome. All right. 919-995. You talk to the front, please. 919-995. Hello. Cheryl, thank you, Lord, for Cheryl. Pray for Cheryl at 919. She never answers her phone for some reason. That's as far as she's probably sleeping like the rest of us need to be. All right. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. Thank you, Lord, for Cheryl tonight, God. We thank you, Jesus, for ordering her steps, God, that you're ordering her steps. The steps of a righteous man, a woman, are ordered of the Lord, right? And so we learn how to know that God has ordered our steps and that when you learn, when he orders our steps, that means the kingdom of God that's in heaven be done in earth. Right, so we learn how to obey him, listen to him, yield to him, you know, and obey his word, do what he says. When we do that, but then we walk in the steps of order. Just because we're stepping out and doing something doesn't mean it's God, right? I mean, for all of us, that we learn that. So I thank you, Jesus, that you teach Cheryl how to walk in the steps that you've ordered for her and the shoes that she's had, she has to walk in, that she not try to walk in other people's shoes, that she walks in her own shoes. In the shoes that you've given her, God, to walk in the steps and the purpose and the will of God, Father, she will not try to do what other people are doing, so unless she's find that learning that the desires you've given her, God, she's learning how to filter out her own personal desires that are just hers and the ones that you've given her that are hers that you've given her. And there's a big difference because we can have desires that are ours, right, that are just our own human will and things. And not the will of Jesus had that. He said, can this cup pass from me? You know, he was, you know, struggling. And so thank you, Lord, that same thing with Cheryl, God, learning how to say, not my will, but thy will be done. And Jesus then stepped back into the, you know, walk in the path that, of course, he went to the cross, the path he was called to walk in. And then the resurrection, which was awesome. Amen. Yeah, so walk in the steps of the Lord and put your will in his will. All right, 214-434, who am I talking to you from, please?
This is Kimberly. In Texas, will you pray for Kimberly and Derek?
Yes. All right, Kimberly and Derek, thank you. All right, thank you, Lord, for Kimberly and Derek. God, I thank you, Lord, that when we, you know, I gave this word to somebody earlier about putting their altar in order. You know, we put our own personal altars in order before God. And then we, you know, Derek does, you do that. And when our altars are in order, that means that we're willing to do what God says. We got our ear bent toward him. What does he want? what does he desire? And when you do that, then two people can come together, right? I mean, we can work on coming together, but when we got our altars in order, when we got our worship with God right, and our will set to do whatever God wants, then two people can work together and work together in the will of God. And I thank you, Lord, for showing them how to do that, like we showed Mike and Veronica earlier about how to, you know, especially when it comes to dealing with people, we got to first, we try to put other people's altar in order for them. You know, we can't do that, right? And I know you know that. We have to put our altar in order, our worship, our life of God, you know, do what we feel God calling us to do, and let the other person put their altar in order, pray that they will, and then let them do what God's called them to do. And then when those two come together, they come together in the will of God, you know, maybe two kind of different things that can mix together. And it's not like oil and water. It's like, you know, a good mixture of a good cake that you put all these ingredients in. And Jesus' name. So thank you, Lord, for showing them all the ingredients of a healthy relationship, healthy friendship, God, in Jesus' name, so that they can, you know, walk in that place where the two wills, the two altars can come together to worship God together. Amen. Very important. All right. 615-948. You want to talk to your son, please? All right, 615-948, are you there? Okay. All right, 615-948, I don't know who that is, we thank you, Lord, for them. Thank you, Jesus, for 615. Thank you, Lord, that, that, you know, when we suspect things of people, like they're being dishonest or not doing things right, whatever it is, in dealings with them, and whether it be friendship or, you know, business or relationships, whatever the thing is, you know, we have to, God first, you know, do I belong in this relationship? Do I need this kind of relationship? Do I need this kind of thing, whether it's business, friendship, love, whatever the thing is. And so I think God, what to join with, what not to join, what to be a part of, what not to be a part of. So God's showing you how when two or more agree as touching a matter, it shall be done. Learning how to come into agreement with the things of God, with people that God calls us to. And we find out where we fit in, if we fit in at all, where we fit into that thing. If we fit into it, we're going to fulfill something. If we fulfill something, God's going to reward us for that. Right, when we fulfill something, when we fulfill a job that we do that nobody else can do or whatever, then God rewards you for that, and God teaching you how to seek the rewards of the Lord and literally seek his rewards, because he rewards you for doing his will, and his will, when he rewards you for that, it opens up more of his will for you and more provision for you to do his will. So, yeah, so we seek the rewards of the Lord. I seek them. I say, God, I want your rewards, because I know his rewards are there to open up more of his will to do more of his things, whatever he wants to do, and provide for that, right? That's what rewards are for. It's not just have our own little selfish thing going on. It's reward, the rewards that come from the Lord from obeying him. We seek after, we look for them. He that seeks God, I'll just say that, know that God will reward him. God, you know, earnestly desire to believe that God will reward those. Yeah, believe that God will reward those who diligently seek him. So we got to believe that. And when God rewards us, what does he do? It's to fulfill his kingdom's purpose in us. The thing that we're called to do and desiring to do of the Lord, he provides for that. So I thank you, Jesus, for that in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. All the things about provision, 615, it's all about provision. Provision is not just money. Provision can be favor. Provision can be, you know, finding out that what you need is right in front of you and you don't even know it. Not opening your eyes to see it. All right. Okay. All right. 843-364. Who am I talking to you from, please?
Hi. Angel from Georgia.
Angel. Angel, good to have you tonight. Thank you, Lord, for Angel. Thank you, Lord, the angel of God, you called her to, to walk above those things, God, that other people have failed. world in and fall in, God, that we see that. We don't see it to judge them. We go, oh, you're a bad person. We go to say, hey, God, you know, that could be me. Save me from that. Save me for that. Keep me for that. And God, using things around you to show how things shouldn't be done, not to judge the person unrighteously, but, you know, but to go, God, you know, I mean, that could be me. I could fail like that. I could be messed up like that. So preserve me, save me, keep me. And when we throw our lives, Angel, into the very hands of God, then and know that, you know, we can't do anything without him. Jesus said, I do nothing except what I see the Father do. Right? So, you know, God, save me, keep. To be desperate for him is not a weak thing. It is a God thing. You know, blessed are those blessed are those who, I didn't say desperate, as you say, are poor. There it is. Blessed are those who are poor in spirit. You know, poor in spirit means, you know, if you're poor, you can't do anything. You can't buy anything, you can't do anything, you can't provide for yourself. So what do? You got to trust God, right? You trust God. And so when we start looking at things that other people have done and do, and how messed up it is, and we go, God, save me from that. Be my provision, God. You know, I can make the same mistakes that they're making. So show me how not to do it. Show me how to forgive, how to love, how to help, how to do it. And when you do that, friend, you're going to find yourself in the grace of God, in the help of God, in the hand of God. And he's going to guide you and lead you, because you're not arrogant and pompous, thinking, oh, you know, if I was, now you're going, oh, dear Jesus, I know I said I never do things, but I did that. God, show me not to be like Peter. Peter said, I'll never deny you. And then he denied him. Because he said he wasn't going to deny him in his own strength. And then the pressure came, and in his own strength, he couldn't handle it. He failed. So we learn from those things. And Peter was a good man, a godly man. He ended up being mightily used by God. But he failed and made mistakes. So we learn from those. And we go, God, you know, be merciful to me. You know, keep me, watch over me. Keep me in your ways. Keep me in your path. Right, we keep humble, you know, when we keep humble before God, then he, in due season, he exalts us in due season. We have to wait and be patient for that due season. And we had to keep, like Joseph did. Joseph had a great calling, big calling, and he was mistreated, lied about, all kinds of things, but he kept faithful to God. He didn't get bitter. You know, God was with him, and he prospered even when he was in what seemed like something short of the will of God. So he learned to function in that thing that seemed like it was anything but the will of God. He said, God, you know, though you slay me, I'm going to praise you, like Job said. Amen. So God, teach you how to walk humble before him, Angel, and, you know, learn how to stay there, which once you get there, if you're staying there, right, that's the hard part, staying there. And learn how to do that, and God's going to guide you and lead you and show you. Lead you to the right people, lead you to the right sources. Amen. Give you information that you need. And he becomes your source, your provision. And amen. All right. Okay. All right, I think that's it for tonight. Nobody else has their hand up. 901, you don't have your hand up. And if you don't have your hand up, I'm not going to collect it. You might be calling in privacy. I don't want to mess with you if you don't want prayer. Also, visionary prayer, you don't have your hand up. 903-253, you don't have your hand up. 608, you don't have your hand up. 101, you don't have your hand up. You guys may know you don't have your hand up. That's okay. But if you don't raise your hand, I'm going to call tonight. Okay, 101, there we go. All right, 111, who am I talking to? Where are you from, please?
Hey, this is Cheryl. I thought I had my hand up. Oh, my God. This is Cheryl. I thought I had my hand up.
Oh, yeah, you got great. You do now. Good job. All right. We got to get our hand. Yeah, I see that hand, you know, in the revival, you know. Oh, I see that hand. Yeah, I know. Some people do think they have their hand up, and they don't. They're like visionary prayer, who's on the line right now, just got their hand up. And also 608 just got their hand up. Sometimes I think I need to do that more, is tell people when they don't have their hand up, and they probably think they do. Some people just forget, you know. And or don't, you know, they don't think about it. Sometimes it knocks them off. And, yeah, so anyway, there you go. We know what that's like. So thank you, Jesus, for Cheryl. God, we thank you that we see that hand. God says, I see that hand. See, this whole thing about the hand thing became a prophetic word. Like, you know, God, I got my hand up. I'm right here. And you're on revival. They say, yeah, I see that hand, and I see the hand for salvation or for praying for somebody or whatever they're doing. Got the hand up, right? So, yeah, you get your hand up. So thank you, Lord, that Cheryl has her hand up saying, God, here I am. Here I am. Use me. Here I am. I'm available. Here I am. Yeah, you know, show me your way. Show me your purpose. And I think we called you, I think it was 1111 when your number, when I started going for your number there. I think it's now 1113 my time, but about 1111 when I started doing that, calling your number. All right. Thank you, Lord, for that and that confirmation, God, that Jesus, you called us. We want to be, even if we're lambs led to the slaughter, God, we don't care what we are. We want to do whatever you say because Jesus was a lamb led to the slaughter, as it were, led to lamb. He wasn't really as a lamb led to the slaughter, but he looked like he was as a lamb led to the slaughter, but he was really the conquering king. So sometimes we look like the weak lamb on our way to slaughter, but really what we are, because we know who we are. And he knew who he was. That's the thing. We have to know who we are because Jesus knew he was born to do what he was going to do, that he knew, you know, he was going to, first time, appear weak, appear like, you know, hey, they got me. They took me down. But in all truth, he knew that was part of the purpose. Just like when Joseph was taken down, like, you know, Joseph didn't know that was part of the purpose, but Jesus did. And when he was taken down, he knew that everybody's going to go, oh, look, they got him, nigga. But the whole time he knew that he was giving his life. He knew that it was a willing thing that he was doing. I thank you, Lord, for Cheryl, God. She knows that she's willingly. She's not. You're not making her. She's not forcing it. She is. She's willing to do whatever you want, God. And when we do that, we follow. You know, it's like Joseph. Joseph said, "Yeah, I want to be that. My brother's going to bow down to me. I'm going to be great before you. Yeah, I think that." And literally he realized the struggle he was going to go through, the battles he was going to go through to get there. And Jesus the same way, right? And so even though he seemed like he was never going to make it, never going to happen, then one day, Joseph, you know, after with Jesus, it was 3 days later. But Joseph, it was like, you know, and like in one day after all the stuff, the baker and the butler, you know, he interpreted his dream, and then a year later or so, he said, yeah, remember me. So and something happened. That dream was given to Pharaoh, and it's only something that Joseph could do. The only person in the world that could help Pharaoh just happened to interpret the dream of one of the guys that worked under him and was in prison. And it's how God works things out is amazing. We look like we're in failure, and all of a sudden one day, you know, we're ruling and reigning in that area. All right. Very cool. All right. Cheryl, thank you. All right, Visionary Prayer. Hello, who am I talking to you from, please?
Hello, this is Greg from Pennsylvania.
Oh, hey, Greg. All right, Greg, good to have you tonight. Thank you, Lord, for Greg. Thank you, Lord, for setting forth, like, God, you know, sometimes we start heading toward things, and then all of a sudden we realize things are escalating to a new level, and we say, God, okay, so I need to readjust. I need to sharpen up. I need to reevaluate some things. You know, I've been doing... You know, good, I'm heading that. But now, you know, I see God really showing you some things that maybe you were not aware of prophetically. You're not aware of things. He's making you aware of them so you can kind of know where things are going, where things are heading, and why they're going there, so you can come into agreement with it instead of, you know, fighting it or arguing with it like a lot of people do. We all do that, actually, to come into it. Because once God shows us his will, like when it came to Trump and Biden thing, you know, I voted for Trump, you know. But I said, you know, basically we knew that you know, anyway. So Biden ended up, you know, winning, of course. And then the only reason I could come into agreement with that was because God has showed me, you know, what the purpose was for Biden to be president. And so when I saw that, I came into agreement with it. And though most people disagree with me on it, you know, I can understand because I would have understood it either had he not shown me. But once God makes you aware of something, then you can come into agreement with it. Then you can go, okay, God, now I see what you're talking about, where you're going. And then once you do that, Greg, then you enter into a place to where you, you know, literally come, okay, God, I'm agreeing with you. And then he can start showing you more. He starts revealing more to you and more and more and more, come into agreement. Once Jesus came into agreement to go to the cross, then God empowered him to do it, which took supernatural strength and
more power than resurrection power to get him through that. That was an amazing victorious thing because he realized that's what the Father wanted to do, and he went, okay, God, I come in agreement with you. And then God empowered him to do it. And so God is shaping your thinking, shaping your understanding of what's going on, why it's going on, so we can come into agreement with and see God's purpose in it instead of just thinking, oh, the devil's out of control or whatever. And, you know, in every area, God's going to show you this stuff. All right. 608-960, who am I talking to you from, please?
He's Shannon in Wisconsin.
Hey, Shannon. All right, Shannon. Thank you, Lord, for that, to reboot him, like giving a reboot. Like God sometimes has to give me a reboot on things. He gives me new information, new understanding. And when he does that to me, then I get like a boost of purpose energy, you know, because without a purpose, we all perish. So sometimes, you know, God has to show us a purpose. And it's not just about having a family, though that is part of the purpose for sure. But it's what, like we talked about a couple of other people tonight, about setting your altar in order. When you get your personal altar in order with God, it's not about who you're going to have married, be married to, what job you're going to have, how much money you're going to make, and all that is definitely the will of God. But that we get our altar. God is right now saying to people, and I'm saying this prophetically, get your altar in order. You know, and I'm talking about to me too. I get, you know, I'm going like, okay, yeah, I can put that in order and that in order too, and this in order. Make sure that we got it in order, our personal, so that we do that, then seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Get our altars in order, as God's having me do all the time, so that when it comes to it, when the fire comes, when we call out to God, he answers by fire. And everybody around goes, whoa, that was amazing, because everybody's going to see it, because we got our altar in order. We get our altar in order, then we can help Israel get their altar in order, or help. You know, God can move us on in that marriage or that friendship or that business and that whatever thing. But we have to first seek the kingdom of God for ourselves. Amen. And then he brings those things to us without even trying. Try so hard. Because when God says, get your altar in order. Know who you are. You can't move on if you don't know who you are. If you don't know you're saved, if you don't know you're walking with God, if you don't know that for sure, you think God's going to put you together with somebody else? You know, and, I mean, it just doesn't work very well like that. And so God's going to help you set your altar in order, bless you, you know. I mean, you know, he's going to save you a lot of trouble by helping you do things in the order of God and save you a lot of pain, a lot of heartache. In Jesus' name, and bless you highly and favor you, amen, in Jesus' name, that he's called you to this time and season. And he's not going to allow you to be messed up by anything or anybody. But it's all about getting your altar in order. I've given, you know, 2 or 3 people words about that tonight in different ways, especially when it comes to relationships with others. Amen? Very awesome. And God's doing that with me, too. I'll take it. All right. Anybody else? You don't have your hand up? 901-501, you don't have your hand up. 903-253, you don't have your hand up. 101, you don't have your hand up. All right. 478. 233, who am I talking to you from, please?
Janice from Georgia.
Oh, hi, Janice. Okay, Janice. Thank you, Janice. Thank you, Lord, for submission, God. Teach Janice what submission is. Submission is submitting to God, doing what God says. And when we do what God says, then God gives us delegated authority to do whatever. Then we can do whatever. It doesn't matter. We don't have to be. It's not about being submitted to man, though there's times in my life where God had me. He's had me submit to a man for 10 years. He said, I want you to serve him. And I didn't know how long I was going to do it. Ended up serving for 10 years. I didn't agree with a lot of his stuff, but, you know, his foundation, he's a good man, a good godly man. But, you know, there's always things we don't agree with people on. God said, I want you to submit. Submitting means that I did what God said, not what people said. I did what God said. And then when I do what God said, you know, then when I got in there serving him, people said, oh, you're just a suck up. You're just like whatever he says. They didn't have a clue. Because when you submit it to God, you don't sit there and tell people, oh, yeah, well, you don't understand. I don't agree with everything he said. You know, we keep our mouths shut. We submit to God. We submit to God first. We keep our mouth closed. And that's in submission. So when we submit to God and go through the testing of all that and we come through successfully, then he says, hey,
You're ready. You're ready for. You don't need nobody now. You showed that you're submitted to me. You'll submit to me no matter what. Now I can trust you. Now he gives you, you know, your own thing. And but God will always test us with other people. Always, always. You know, as soon as they do something we don't like, man, it's like, okay, well, I'm out of here now. You know, I don't like it. So we learn how to submit to God and do what God says. Right? Yeah. So anyway, you're doing that well. God's showing you how to do that, walking that. And then because the whole purpose of all that is so that God can eventually go, yeah, I can, you're trained now. I trained you to walk in that the right way. And now I can trust you with other things. All right, Janice. Awesome. Great job. All right. 901. You don't have your hand up. 501. 901. 501. 903-253-11. You don't have your hand up. 912-246. You don't have your hand up. And if somebody doesn't get their hand up pretty quickly, I'm going to move on. All right, I'll be right back. Give me just a moment here. Now, there we go. All right, 912-246. You want to talk to your son, please?
Hi, Prophet Randy, Angela Joy.
Hey, Angela Joy. All right, good to have you. All right, thank you, Lord, for that party time, God, for... You know, God showing you how to party when you're a party, you know, party hardy, and how to be serious, you know, and go to war, go to battle, come back, and then you, you know, love and party and give it, and then relax and take time off and go back at it again. And God showing you how to enjoy life and then how to, you know, when we go to have a serious thing, like going to work and being serious, being, you know, everything's like, you know, and, you know, important, and everything is, you know, we got to be focused and all that. And then we come to that time where we take that Sabbath or that, not even really just a Sabbath, but time of, we take time off, maybe not time off from our thing, but learn how to, when we get focused for a season, we get focused to get something done, to get something put in action, to get it going. And then we relax and we, while that thing's, because we focused on it, got it going, got it, you know, get it moving forward, and then we relax and enjoy and party with God and enjoy life and have fun, and then we got to have a balance of all that. And we have a balance of it, that balance in life of how to enjoy life and how to, you know, be serious and be intense and all that, and go to war and come back and party, you know. So the whole balance of life, God really showing you how to do that and teach others how to do that. You know, that we've got, I used to be so serious all the time, Angela. It's like, after a while, I lost most of my friends because I was so intent on winning the world to Jesus, you know, that everything was about that. And, you know, and so God had to, like, show me how to, like, laugh. I remember I had the vision, the open vision of Jesus laughing. Never seen that, never even looked at him like that. I thought he was serious doing the will of God. You know, let's get this thing done, man. Let's wrap this thing up. And when I saw him, it just changed my whole perspective on everything, and I learned to even be in war and enjoy war. And I learned to be serious and be focused and laugh and have fun at the same time. And I know you know how to do that already, of course, but God's showing you that another level, how to totally drink from the spiritual wine of God and enjoy and party with him and eat and drink and have fun, enjoy the food and fun with people, and then go at it, you know. And so thank you, Jesus, for that and for the joy of the Lord. Angel of Joy, it's, you know, that's not really your name, but it's what we call you because we had some other angels on. So Angel of Joy, when you first came on tonight, you know, it said your name. That's what I thought, Joy. The word joy just stuck out. Thank you for that joy, God, you've given her that's inside of her all the time. Show her how to drink of it more and more. More and more and more. She already knows how to drink, but teach her how to drink of it more and more like you do me. I can go along having serious, intense time, the end times, and I mean, my God, it's happening, brother. And then all of a sudden I'm laughing and having a good time. And I know you do the same thing too, but I think we're going to go to different levels in that. Because the more intense it gets, the more we need to party afterwards, right, and enjoy the Lord and laugh and have fun and relax. And then when we go to war, when we have to be focused, we're focused in joy. We have a joy that's there. We have that joy. So thank you, Lord, for we've renamed her. And we thank you, Lord, for that joyous name and that purpose in Jesus' name. She's in the purposes of God. and you teach us how to enjoy it. And so because we become more effective, I think that's the thing God's showing me. I became more effective. I've talked about this many times on the show where when I saw Jesus laughing and enjoying life, I thought, man, I didn't ever know he was like that. So when I learned to start doing that, the more my friends tell me now, the more I'm having fun laughing, and I hear more from God then than I do any time. You know, I'm not sure that was a compliment, but it's like, man, you know, when you're just, you know, like, hey, thanks a lot. But yeah, so enjoyment of God and learning to enjoy it in life, more deeper levels all the time, it makes me more effective when it comes to focus because I'm more relaxed. I'm more in the rest zone, entering to the rest of the Lord, entering to the rest zone, and entering to rest is something that only God can bring us to. And I know you know all this, but just reminding you, and thank you, Jesus, for Angela and her life, God, and restore her, God. Teach her how to stay restored all the time. We work hard, we labor hard, we get tired, and then we rest and have that joy time, and then we go, and that way we stay effective. We stay effective. And I thank you, Lord, for her staying effective in Jesus' name always. Hallelujah. All right, awesome. Anybody else want ministry tonight? Please get your hand up. 901-501, you don't have your hand up. 903-253, I don't know if I've already ministered to you or not. Don't have your hand up. And another 111, you don't have your hand up. So if you don't get your hand up pretty quick, I'm going to call it a night. I don't mind getting off early. Doesn't hurt my feelings. Not anymore. I can work hard and get a lot done and get off early. That's fine with me. Yeah. All right. I'm going to give it a minute, and there's nobody else raised their hand, and I want to call it a night. I enjoy serving you and God's people. So, you know, I love it. And so you know that. So we're here for you, and we love it all. 901-501, or who am I talking to you from, please? Mm-hmm. 901-501, are you there? Hello?
Hello?
Yes, who am I talking to you from, please?
This is Daniel again.
Oh, Daniel, okay. I haven't talked to you tonight, though, have I?
Oh, no, you didn't talk to me tonight. You talked to me last night.
Last night, right.
Now,
yeah,
talking about my wife.
I'm going to pray for you. Huh? Thank you, Daniel, for calling in. Okay, I'm going to mute you there. On Wednesdays, you may not be familiar with Wednesdays these days. Say, now on Wednesdays, we dedicate Wednesdays just to prophesying, no talking, some special emergency thing. So thank you, Daniel. I'm glad I got to. Oh, you didn't even have your hand up, bro. Sorry, I didn't apologize. Either way, I think it's a divine appointment. I didn't know you didn't have your hand up. Okay. All right, we're going to pray for anyway. Daniel, we thank you, Lord, for Daniel. I thank you, Lord, for the miracles in his life, God. For giving him a desire for miracles, a desire for God to do exceeding abundantly above all he could ever ask or think or even imagine. Father, you're going to do those things in his life. You're going to show him new things. And we're going to break free of the old religious traditions of just doing things one way. We're going to do things. It's one way to Jesus, one way to the Father, but there's many different ways. God leads us and guides us, that his provision has come in many different facets. His provision, he's only one way to the Father, through Jesus Christ, period. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. But you know what? There's many different ways that he provides. And I thank you, Lord, for opening Daniel up to all the different ways you provide. God, you bring health, you bring healing, you bring blessing, you bring prosperity. Father, we don't get caught up into the religious spirit of doing it one particular way. Because Brother So-and-so from 1910, you know, had great blessings there. So all we do is listen to, we have multifaceted ways of getting the provision from the Father, whether that's healing, deliverance, salvation, you know, whatever, provision, money, whatever the thing is. Thank you, Lord, for that in my brother in Jesus' name, and training him and working with him, God, and showing him all the ways of God, not just some of the ways, all the ways. He's going all the way. We're going to call you all the way Daniel, because you're going to learn all the ways of the Lord, yeah, all of them. I just said all of them. Amen, Daniel. All right, sorry, I didn't realize you didn't have your hand up. I hope I didn't interfere with you there, but I thought that was kind of cool. Good to have you tonight, Daniel. Thank you for being with us. All right, y'all, I think that's my last caller. And he didn't have his hand up. I'm glad I called him anyway. Thank God for that. It was wonderful. Love you, Daniel, and your wife, precious wife. Amen. What a blessing. All right, y'all, I think that's it for tonight. It's it's only 11:35. I'm going to get up early tonight. Wow. Yeah, you know, Wednesdays, in case you're calling new, Wednesdays, we do not do much talking. We don't, like we do Mondays and Tuesdays now, we talk. We prophesy to people, and we still talk a lot, and visit, and share, and open up. On Wednesdays, totally dedicated to prophesying only, right? No visiting, no nothing, just getting with it. And, right, so we enjoy it all. Kind of a new thing we've been doing probably the last year, like that, for Wednesdays, dedicated to prophesying only, no talking, visiting. All right, make sure I'm trying to make that clear. All right, y'all, I'm going to call it a night tonight. Thank you very much. We will talk to you guys later. All right, bye-bye.